So the Zohar poses a serious problem, a serious kashya, a connection with the Seder of the Tree. Very difficult to visualize how Bnei Yisrael, after having experienced the Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the Esamakas, and after having experienced Maimon HaSinai, they saw the Gilui Shechina, both by the Esamakas, by Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and by Maimon HaSinai, and then they go ahead and make an eagle. 40 days after Maimon HaSinai, doesn't make any sense. Even people today, they haven't seen such Gilui Shechina. Most people don't get involved in Avodah Zarah. How is it possible that the Jews at that time should have sinned with Avodah Zarah? So the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechet Avodah Zarah that if the Derech HaTeva, they would never have been Nichshal in this state. L'ho Yisrael Shebo'os Tadoh Ruim Lo'isa Ma'isa. That they really didn't have the Bechira, if they had a Bechira Chopshis to choose to worship the Egel or not, to choose to make an Egel or not, they wouldn't have done it on their own. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the Bechira Chopshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu many times does that. We don't have Bechira Chopshis to do everything and anything that we want to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended the Bechira Chopshis and forced them and caused them to sin with the Chet Egel. What in the world did he do that for? What, he gets the excitement? He gets the thrill when the Jewish people worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, the Horus Tshuva L'Rabim. He wanted to teach them the lesson that even if the entire Tzibur does the Chet of Avodah Zarah, it's still possible that everybody should be Yichoz B'Tshuva. And the Gemara Rosh Hashanah seems to be continuing with this theme when the Gemara interprets on the Pasuk Vayavar Hashem Al Panav Vayikra Hashem Hashem Kerach Mechanun. So the Gemara says that the phrase Vayavar Hashem Al Panav has the connotation of a Shleach Tzibur who's Oivel Lefnei HaTeva. Like the Mishnah was used as a Melitza, Oivel Lefnei HaTeva. So here Vayavar Hashem Al Panav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went like a Shleach Tzibur in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. What was your Shleach Tzibur about? So the Gemara says Melamed Shein Tzatzev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishleach Tzibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayachol dressed up. He appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu as if he was dressing up with a talis, and then he went to the Yomud and he started saying Yud Gimel Midas Hashem Hashem Kerach Mechanun, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu that called man should banai chaytim yasa lefana kiseder azeh. They should say Yud Gimel Midas just like I'm saying now. That's how they should say later. That's why our minig is that the chazan wears a talis when he says the Yud Gimel Midas. I say in the middle of the night. So the Gemara says that our minig is we say the Yashmoros Haboker the same in the middle of the night. So the that's what the minig is supposed to be. It's supposed to say slichas in the middle of the night, and they're supposed to say it 8 o'clock in the morning and then daven at 9 o'clock. It's supposed to say balayla, bashmoras haboker. So the answer is, because it's based on this gemara, the whole idea of saying slichas is derived from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he taught us this lesson. He said that, he told us, kodman shabana chaytim, yasa lefana kiseder hazeh. You see that gemara in Rosh Hashanah seems to be a hemshah of the agaritim. I don't know how you see from the pasuk, but the Gemara says like that. So the tzatzef of Kadosh Baruch Hu is Shleach Tzibur. Tzatzef means he put on a talis, and then he was showing Moshe Rabbeinu how the Shleach Tzibur should say the Yud Gimel Midas in order to acquire a kaparah. This Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that presents this version of how Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying the Yud Gimel Midas seems to be a hemshech of the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, that the whole purpose of the Chet Egel, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Bnei Yisrael to sin with the Chet Egel, was an order Laharis Tshuva L'Rabim. And then the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah also continues and comments on the pasuk in the end of the parasha, beginning of Shishi, Vayomi Hinei Anochi Torah's Bris Negev Kol Amcha Esen Nefloas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to make a Kris his Bris with Bnei Yisrael, and he doesn't say what the Bris is all about. The Rashi interprets a pshat in the pasuk that the Bris is that Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shchinasai Ala Goyim, that the Nevuah will only be Chal on Bnei Yisrael, not on the Umas Oil. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking for. V'neflinu Anivi Amecha, that we should be Haflaya. Haflaya means a separation and a distinction, that the Hashuas Hashchin and Nevuah should only be Chal on Bnei Yisrael, not on Umas Oil. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Hinei Nechu Keres Bris, Al Zos. That's how Rashi says, Esa Nifla Ol, is Miloshin V'neflinu Anivi Amecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu is asking to make a Bris, an agreement that he won't give the Nevuah to the Umas Oil. The Gemara and Rosh Hashanah interpret differently. Hinei Nechi Keres Bris, the Torah Tzim, of course. Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin Amad Beis. Bris Kerusa L'Yud Gimel Midos, She'enam Chazas Reikum, She'enam Hinei Nechi Keres Bris. The Gemara understands that this refers back to Hashem Hashem Ke'arach HaMechanun. And it says, Hinei Nechi Keres Bris, that until now, the Medrash fills it in, until he made the Kerusa's Bris, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that when people do tshuva, v'chanot yeis asher rochem v'richam yeis asher arachem, sometimes I'll forgive the people and sometimes not, depending if it's what mood I'm in. That's what it sounds like. It's very unclear what it means. But that's what the Medrash says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally said, "Chanosi Yisrael Sharachim, Rechamti Yisrael Sharachim." Sometimes I'll forgive if people are chosen b'tshuva, and sometimes not. And now he wouldn't make a creature's breach with Bnei Yisrael. Neged Kolam Chayetz in the floor. It's only with Bnei Yisrael that when they, if Chas V'Shalom, a Jew sins and he's chosen b'tshuva for real, and he says, "Taka Yud Gimel Midos," he wakes up in the morning to minyan. He says Yud Gimel Midos before the minyan or after the minyan. Like sitting, they say Yud Gimel Midos in the tachnun. Oh, every day. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he'll forgive him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Kedushas Bris that he'll always forgive the person who's chosen b'tshuva if he's from Bnei Israel, and if he goes with this nusa, if he says Yud Gimel Midos. That's how Rashi interprets. I don't know. The Pasuk says later that they were punished, that the Eretz was taken away by the Shas Chet HaMeraglim because of the Chet of the egg. It's why did they do Tshuva after the Chet HaMeraglim and also have that wiped off? Why would Tshuva have everything wiped off? I don't know. Good cash?
That's why we said that now with the Tshuva, he said you can only just show the
to give
him, so how come
Yud Gimel Midos
is after something
Tzibur
and Yochi can't
say that? Don't know, we consider the Davar Shebit Dushag. I don't know. We say the Yud Gimel Midos, not the Torah Sapasik. Sukkim, we can say Yud Gimel Midos if you read the whole Pasik. But if you say not the Torah Sapasik, you say the Torah Midos, that's why there's no violation of called Pesukah de la Pasuk Moshe and non la Pasuk Kinnah, because we're not saying it the Torah Sapasik. The Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, because Mam Shabbanei Chaitim, Yasa Lefani Kiseidu Azer, let them say the Yud Gimel Midos and I'll forgive them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let them say it not to be Mavis Sedra, not to say the Torah Sapasik, to say the Torah Midas. If you say not the Torah Sapasik, say the Torah is a description of the Midas HaChesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's called the Davar Shebikdush. Allah says the Davar Shebikdush needs a minyan. But it does mean that the Kiris is Bris is with the Yechidim also the Chorus, not only with the Tzim. I think so.
It's
not Ma'akiv in the Tshuva, no, but it's Ma'akiv in the Bris, it sounds like. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, people do Tshuva, I may decide to forgive them. And if they say Yud Gimel Midos, then I promise that I'll forgive him. So if the guy's really doing a good tshuva, so then and he holds his tshuva so gevaldik, so he doesn't need a Yud Gimel Midos. But if he has to rely on the bris means even if you're not fully worthy of having mechilas of and you want to rely on this bris, the bris is a promise, I'll call upon it, whatever comes. Even if you don't really deserve it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still forgive your aveiros. So then you have to say the Yud Gimel Midos. Yud Gimel Midos, the way we say it, has to be B'Torah Midos, not B'Torah Pesukim. So then it's called the Davar Shebikdusha. Says if there's no minyan, if someone's saying Slichas, there's no minyan, then he should say it B'Torah Pesukim, not B'Torah Yud Gimel Midos. Then there is a din of called Pesukim Delay Paske Moshe. As it's taught from the beginning of a Pasuk and end at the end of a Pasuk, and some Pasuk can suggest you should say it with Trop to demonstrate that he's saying it B'Torah Pesukim and not B'Torah Midos. If you say B'Torah Midos, then it constitutes the Davar Shebikdusha. That's what it would appear. It's a big problem. What's the definition of a Davar Shebikdusha? What needs a minyan? What not? Mishnah says Davar Shebikdusha needs a minyan. Mishnah Megillah. So why isn't Kriya Shema Davar Shebikdusha? Person says Yichud Hashem, Havosa, Yiresa, Talmuda, Lachmamish, the most important things in the Torah. Why isn't that a Davar Shebikdusha? What about when Yimavi said you read the Aseret Adibrais? Isn't that big stuff? Why is not Davar Shebikdusha? Only Kaddish Kedusha Baruch Hu. Why is that more important? We don't know exactly what the definition of Davar Shebikdusha is. Rav Soloveitchik suggested on different occasions different possibilities what the definition may be. So he thought that maybe there's the Pasuk says in Chumash, "Dibarta b'mishivtecha b'vitzecha v'alechtecha v'aderecha v'shochtecha v'kumecha." So the Mishnah says in Brachos, "Kol ad mikori kidarka." There's machlek is b'shama b'silo. B'shama say that Kriya Shema Shel Arvis you have to say. You have to say b'shachtecha, and b'boker kriyashma shel shachris is called adam. You have to stand. Ubekumecha, you have to stand when you say kriyashma. We pass like tefillah. That kol adam kari kedarka. We derive in the pasuk b'lechtecha v'aderech. You can say standing, sitting, whatever, it doesn't matter. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe that pasuk is telling us the din that even though kriyashma should constitute a davar shebikdusha, that it's really the status of Yichud Hashem, Ahavasi Yiras, and so on, and maybe Aseres HaDibros, and maybe a world of learning Chumash, maybe Torah should also be always be a Davash B'Kdusha. That pasuk teaches us that whenever you say Psukim, it doesn't have these Chumras of Davash B'Kdusha. If we would have had the Dinim of Davash B'Kdusha, we have to say Bamida, you wouldn't be able to say the Yeshiva. So that pasuk tells you, Kol Adam Kari Kedarka, that's a special din, that even though perhaps Divrei Torah are Davash B'Kdusha, you don't have all of these restrictions. It doesn't have to be Bamida. That's why Mikar Adin is assumed that Amida is not necessary b'shas Kriyas HaTorah. Shulchan Aruch, they just quote the Maharam Rutenberg, stood as a Chumrah. And the Rishon quote the Maharam Rutenberg that only he stood, while Abatim and the Shul were sitting. He didn't tell everybody in the Shul that they have to stand. It's not Mikar Adin. He stood and the others were sitting. In other words, he also held that Mikar Adin, you don't have to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. He did it b'Torah Chumrah. Why don't you have to stand? The Mishnah says in Megillah that you need a minion. The Kriya Satara, because it's a Davish B'Kdusha, so why shouldn't you have to stand as well? Unless you say that you only need the minion for the Baruch Hu of Kriya Satara, but not for the Kriya Satara itself, it wouldn't exactly appear so from the Gemara. The Gemara would appear perhaps that the Kriya Satara itself is a Davish B'Kdusha. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, and maybe that passage tells you that this is an exception to the rule, that whenever you think Psukim, even though the Psukim ought to constitute a Davish B'Kdusha, it doesn't have all these Chumas, and it doesn't have to be said by me. Maybe that's halacha. Here also, that's what the poskim seem to distinguish regarding the yud gimel midas. That if you say yud gimel midas b'toras psukim, and you read the pasuk from the beginning to the end, and some say you even say the trop, then you demonstrate the same b'toras psukim, then a yochid may also say. But that's not being, then you're not reciting the yud gimel midas, then you're reciting the b'toras psukim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayava Hashem Alpano Vayikro, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, because man shabane chaitim, yasa lefana kiseidu azeb ani moichalehem, they should say these b'toras midas, not b'toras psukim. That's why we assume that we have a heter to be mafsik in the middle of the pasuk, because we don't say b'toras pasuk. We say b'toras midas. What's the whole, you say that din of kol psukim le pasuk Moshe, anan le pasuk inon? We're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the pasuk, because he's saying the psukim shaloi kichsavoi. You're corrupting the pasuk. So that's only if you're interested in saying psukim. That's why you have another din, sometimes the Gemara says in Brachas at the end of the first parak. There's another halacha of Kol Parsha de Loi Paskim Moshe, Anan Loi Paskim. The Gemara says that in the daily davening you have to include Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Every day you have to mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's why we say the third Parsha of Kriya Shema, that in the last pasuk of that Parsha contains a mention of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, Ben and Tanoim were interested originally being Misakin, that they should say different parts of the Chumash that mention Kel Malsiyam and Mitzram Kisof Hashrein Lo from Parshas Bolo. The Gemara says then it would be very lengthy and you'd have to read the whole Parsha. You wouldn't be able to say just that pasuk. Why? The Gemara says this would violate the Yitzhak of Kol Parsha Lo Paskim Moshe Anan Lo Paskim. So the Tur Yevin has a kash at the end of Rosh Hashanah. What is the din? Is Alocha Kol Psukah Lo Paskim Moshe? Is Alocha Kol Parsha Lo Paskim Moshe? That's the Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas at the end of the first parak. Kol Parsha de Lo Paskim Moshe. You have to say a whole Parsha. You can't say a Parsha de Lo Paskim Moshe. And the other Gemara says in the Gila, regarding the Kriya Satay Ram Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara is just worried about Kol Psukah de Lo Paskim Moshe, not worried about Kol Parsha de Lo Paskim Moshe. The Gemara says at the end of the Gila, that on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to lay Haziv Loch. They would say Hazinu one Shabbos and Tchoy Maselim the next Shabbos and Yarkivei the next Shabbos. This is a violation of Kol Parsha de Lo Paskim Moshe. How can you do that? You're stopping in the middle of a Parsha. So the Turi Yevon has a Psash Tikal Teretz. So Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe he can say another Teretz. Turi Yevon has a Teretz that he's not fully satisfied with himself. So Rav Soloveitchik thought maybe he can say another Teretz. What the Holy Yisrael Adin of Kol Psukah de Lo Paskim Moshe Anan Lo Paskinon? Where does it come from? In some of the Yisrael Adin is that you're not permitted to corrupt Divrei Torah. You have to say the Divrei Torah, Kich Savam. And if you say half a Pasuk, so you're corrupting Divrei Torah. So the question is, why is that corrupting Divrei Torah? It depends. So the Gemara seems to assume like this. Whenever the halacha was formulated in terms of psukim, like Kriya Satorah, the Takana Sachachamim was to lay three psukim for an oila, a minimum of three psukim for each aliyah, to lay a minimum of 10 psukim for a Kriya Satorah on a Sheni B'Chamish, on a regular Monday or Thursday. So since the Takana Sachachamim was to lay psukim, so there the Gemara only is worried about called psukim to lay paskim moish. They're not worried about Kol Parsha Lo Paskim Moshe yet. Because the units that you're working with are psukim, and if you'll read a half of a pasuk, and read a pasuk and a half together, that'll be a corruption of the kichsavoy, of the Divrei Torah that you have to say. Gemara in Brachos at the end of the first parak is talking about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So in Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, We know that the Rambam does not count this as a sovereign mitzvah, as a separate mitzvah. The Rav Soloveitchik mentioned last week the kasha, why Achreinim has the tzlache, the Minchas Chinuch quotes the kasha and discusses it at length. Why doesn't the Rambam count this as a separate mitzvah? The Chiyus of Tzitzis Chaim every day. Why does he only count the mitzvah of secret Tzitzis Chaim a little Pesach, and he doesn't count the mitzvah of the Chiyus of Tzitzis Chaim every day? So the Achreinim have many terutzim, most of which are very good. Most of the terutzim are all others. There are many terutzim on the kasha. One of the many terutzim was said by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that the Rambam doesn't count the Chiyus of Tzitzis Chaim every day as a mitzvah because it's not a mitzvah d'Shmei Atzma. It's part of a different mitzvah. Of Kriyashma. What is the mitzvah of Kriyashma? So the Rabbeinu Yoina says in Brachos, there's a machlekes in the Gemara, the Kriyashma is the Raisa, the Kriyashma is the Rabbanon. How can anybody say Kriyashma is love the Raisa? But it says in the Torah, the Dibarat Abon, Peshach B'chav Kumecho. So the Gemara is, how can you say Kriyashma the Rabbanon? Says the Ferish, Peshach B'chav Kumecho. Emph the Gemara, Ahu B'divri Teru Hu Dichsiv. What does that mean B'divri Teru? That's what we're talking about, Kriyashma. So the Rabbeinu Yoina explains, Shagasari quotes this at length, Rabbeinu Yoina explains, that everybody agrees that Kriya Shema is the right. It says, V'dibarta bom, v'shach b'chol k'mecha. You have to talk and learning when you wake up in the morning, when you go to sleep at night. Machlekes HaTanaim is, whether this mitzvah, V'dibarta bom, v'shach b'chol k'mecha, one can only fulfill by reciting this specific parasha of Kriya Shema, of Shema, or perhaps of Hayom Shema in addition. That's a further question, how much is the right? So the first pasuk Shema, and the first parasha of Shema, the first two parashas of Shema. Or do you say, no, you can fulfill this mitzvah, Dibar Tabam, read and learn it. You can learn Makkas. It's also not so bad. You can learn anything. B'shach b'chol k'mecha. Learn a little bit when you wake up in the morning. Learn a little bit when you go to sleep. It's love dafke this parasha. You can learn any parasha you want. So that's what the Gemara says. One opinion is Kriya Shema is their rising, means that the requirement to learn b'dafke this parasha, that's their rising. The other opinion in the Gemara is not Kriya Shema is love their rising, means that the requirement for this parasha, the fact that we choose these parashas, Shema v'hayam Shema, is only with the Rabbanon. And the Mishnah gives you the reason. This is Kabbalah Sal Matul Shamayim, and this is Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. These are important parashiyas. What happened to the pasuk in the Torah? B'dibar Tabam B'shach B'chol Kumecho. The Gemara says, "Halu B'dibar Torah Dichsiv means Min HaTorah. You can learn any parasha you want. You can be yoyt to Talmud Torah with anything. Mitzvah Kriya Shema every day B'shach B'chol Kumecho is Talmud Torah. But the Rabbanim they said you should learn these two parashiyas. So the Rambam paskin, and that is the way we usually assume, not like Tosfos paskins in many places that Kriya Shema is love their right. But the Rambam and many other Rishonim assume that Kriya Shema is the Raisa. What do you mean Kriya Shema is the Raisa? That the need to lay in Dafka this parsha, this Shema, or perhaps Shema V'Yom Shamaya, that this is the Raisa. So why? Why is it Dafka this is the Raisa? So before that, the Machlekes in the Gemara, where the Kriya Shema is the Raisa, Kriya Shema is love the Raisa, and the Machlekes is what's the nature of the mitzvah of Dibarta Bom, B'Shach B'Chol Kamecho? Does the mitzvah mean you should learn a little bit in the daytime and learn a little bit at night, just the Chiv Talmud Torah, or no? The mitzvah is you should be mekabel al malchus shamayim in the morning and mekabel al malchus shamayim at night when you go to sleep. And that's how we paskin. Kriya Shema is there, I said that minatari, you cannot be yaitu with another parsha. Minatari, you have to say these two parshas. It doesn't mean, in other words, not that it's dama mitzvah talmud Torah. Learn anything you want. Makis, Erevin, Nozi, Yvamis, anything. No. Banish, that's another mitzvah. The Marat Moses ben Echem, the Marat Moses, Mishmat ben Osos, some other mitzvahs in the Torah to learn follow Torah kula whenever you have free time. This is a different mitzvah. That the Dibar Tavam Shivtacha Beisecho Veshach B'chav Kamecha is mitzvah to be Mekabalah Malchus Shamayim in the morning and in the evening. So that's what Rav Chaim explained, that according to the way the Rambam assumes, according to the way the Rav HaRishonim assumes, perhaps that Kriya Shema is the Oraisa. So perhaps the reason why Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim does not count as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma is because it's a chelik of that mitzvah of Kriya Shema. In fact, it's very strange, if you don't say like HaChachamim, it's very strange that Netanya, he talks about this question. Why would a HaChachamim Misakin to say Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim in a third parish in Kriya Shema? What does that do with the first two parishes? It's absolutely unrelated. Why don't they say Halal also there? Let's say on the day that you have to say Halal. So Shavin and Halal are also put in parishes Korah, put in parishes Zohar, everything in the middle of the Kriya Shema, just because it's a mitzvah of Amira. You do everything separately. So they say Kriya Shema, separate. Then you have Birchas Kriya Shema before and after, separate. Then you have Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim as a separate thing. Why do they put in Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in the end of Kriya Shema? There's no connection. There's no relationship. So the Baal HaTanya has Alderach HaDrush, and the Tanya he talks about this. Rav Chaim said perhaps Alderach HaPshad, the Pshat is like this. It says in the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecho, Asher Hotzei Sicho Mi'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'beit Avodim. So the Rebbe Shlom didn't say Anochi Hashem Elokecho Shabaros HaShemayim Vo'orez. Ibn Ezra talks about this. He quotes Rabbi Yehuda Halevi talks about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shehoteisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So you see that the Ribbono Shel Olam, when he wants us to believe, when he wants us to have Amunah, Kabbalas HaMalchus Shamayim, in the belief in the Yichud Hashem, so he stresses, don't forget Yitzias Mitzrayim. At the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, all of this was demonstrated to you, and everybody saw it b'chush. Everybody saw it with their own eyes. Rasa Shiv Chalayam, Mashal Eroi, Yecheskel Bamuzi, Demaisim Erakob. So that's perhaps, Rav Chaim said, that's perhaps the pshat in the mitzvah of Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. That's not a mitzvah to have HaKoros HaToyva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he took us out of Mitzrayim. No, that's a different thing. It means to mention every day Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim, to remind yourself, to remember that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, it was Nesames to us, it was demonstrated and proven to us, the fact that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that there's only one God who controls everything in the world, and it can break all the Chukei HaTeva, and no other gods, no other Avodah Zarahs in Egypt had the power to fight against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he smashed us, all the Psilim and all the Avodah Zarahs and everything. So Rav Chaim suggests that perhaps the way we assume that Kriya Shema is the Araisa means that the Davki have to say this parasha, this part of Shema Yisrael, this first parasha, these two parashas, means that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema every day means Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. It doesn't stop mean Talmud Torah every day. That's a different mitzvah. But the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, B'shach B'chol Kamecha means Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim. So then the mitzvah of Zechirat Yitzias Mitzrayim is not an independent mitzvah. It's not a separate mitzvah. So remember, Yitzias Mitzrayim to have a HaKoros HaTayvah. No. It's part of this mitzvah. Kabbalah Samach Hashemayim al Yedei Zechirat Yitzias Mitzrayim. Like the beginning of the Aseres Adibas. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hatzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim is for the purpose of remembering that at that time it was demonstrated to us that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So that's how Rav Chaim interpreted. That maybe the reason, there are many other reasons. Many of the reasons, most of the reasons that the Acharnim give are very, very valid reasons. Most of them are Rolems. Many reasons why Zechirat Yitzias Mitzrayim should not be counted every day as a separate mitzvah. Only on Leil Pesach should be counted. Every day is not. So Rav Chaim suggests that perhaps this is one of the another reason why. So according to this one reason, Rav Soloveitchik explained, we can understand why the Gemara says in Brachas that here there's a violation of reading Torah Shalokich Savoy if you read a half of a parsha. If you do Kol Parsha, the Le Paske Moshe. Why? Because by Kriya Shema there are different opinions how much is there rice, just in the Kriya Shema. So the Ramban has the opinion on Olchamas and Brachas. That only pasuk rishon, only the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Zuri Kriya Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Digmar, Zuri Kriya Shema Shel Rabbi. He says that's the only pasuk that's there, right? The rest is only the Rabbanan. That's why the Gemara says Ad Kan Kavanas Aleil. You only have to have Kavanah on the first pasuk. You don't need Kavanah on the rest. And the Ramban says the reason why we usually learn Pshat in the Gemara, you only need Kavanas Pirush Hamilus. You only need Kavanas Kabbalos Amach Hashemayim on the first line, and the rest you don't have to have Kavanas Pirush Hamilus for the rest of Kriya Shema. But for the mitzvah Tzrichas Kavanah, that's an unrelated issue. But they need Kavanah for the Yoy design the mitzvah, that's unrelated to this sugya. But they need Kavanah Pirush HaMilas. That's why we usually learn. Like the Gemara discusses whether Shechita need Kavanah, whether Tzvilah need Kavanah. So usually from that's unrelated to the topic, to the issue of mitzvah Tzrichas Kavanah. That's a shaila whether the matter of Shechita takes effect without Kavanah. Or whether the matter of tefillah takes effect, or the matter of hazoras meipora takes effect, the kavanah is unrelated to the topic of mitzvah sichas kavanah. So the Ramban and Mohammed mixes everything together. He puts it all together. He puts together that the Ramban Chulin says not so. Ramban Chulin says that the sugya Chulin of shechita by a kavanah, whether tefillah by a kavanah, whether hazor by a kavanah, is unrelated. The Chiddush Aran quotes Ramban. It's unrelated to the issue of mitzvah sichas kavanah. That's the way we usually learn. And the Ramban and Mohammed says to himself, there he writes that all of this blends in together. That the sugya where the shechita by kavanah, tefillah by kavanah is the issue of mitzvah sichas kavanah. It's the shaila of mitzvah sichas kavanah. And then he says that that's pshat in this gemara. How come you only need kavanah on posuk rishon, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, there you need kavanah? That's why we cover our eyes in order to pay attention, in order to. The gemara gives the whole reason why Rabbi Yehuda Anasi used to cover his eyes. In the middle of Shir, he would start Shir very early, before this Mount Kriya Shema. Different groups of Balabatim apparently had different Talmidim of Balabatim, whatever. He had a Daf Yomi Shia for them and Daf Yomi Rishami for the other people. Then he said a Shia for the Shia guys in Mishnah Berurah, whatever. He gave different Shirim all day. So he's busy from the morning till after his Man Krishna. So he missed Krishna. He missed Tzvila B'Tzibi, he missed Krishna. So the Gemara says in the middle of one Shia he'd always go like this, and he would either mumble Shema under his breath as somebody would be asking a question or something. He'd say Shema, or he would just some Rishon, some Mefarshim, so he'd just cover his eyes and be Maharer. Shema, he wouldn't, not the Acheret, to take fish from the guy who has 10 kashmir. We just cover his eyes and think Kriya Shema is mine to the earth, or whatever. So that's our meaning, we cover our eyes for Shema. So what is the Gemara, the Ramban says, what does the Gemara stress so much? The first pasuk. Ramban says, because the first pasuk is the Raisa, and the mitzvah is the Raisa, and mitzvah is Sichas Kavanah. The rest of the pesukim and Kriya Shema are only required by the Rabbanon, and mitzvah is the Rabbanon, are in Sichas Kavanah. That's how the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Shuvah Saradvan in Hilchas Kriya Shema. The Mechaber quotes two opinions. But the mitzvah Sviches Kavanah, mitzvah Saint Sviches Kavanah, and it's a machlekes in the Gemara, Tanoim, and a machlekes Amoraim, and a machlekes in the Rishonim, had a paskin. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Tshuva Saradvaz, that Adkan lo pligi, it's not exactly the way it says in the Gemara. The Gemara of the Feresh has a machlekes both by the Araisis and by the Rabban. The Feresh points to that. It's a Sugi Roshana and a Sugi Mtsochim. Sugi Mtsochim goes on Moro Bizman Azeh, Moro Bizman Azeh, the Rabbanon. Sugi Roshana goes on the Araisis, but the Feresh points out Mufurish that you have two sugyas, one where the mitzvah sichas kavanah b'deraisa, and one b'derabbanan. So the Radvaz says that's how we pass them, that b'deraisa you need kavanah, b'derabbanan you don't need kavanah. That shulsa Radvaz is exactly what the Ramban says. That's the hachras Ramban, that the pasuk rishon in Kriya Shema alone is needed min ha'tera, only Shema, and the rest of the pasuk in Kriya Shema are only b'derabbanan. And that's why only pasuk rishon by a kavanah, and the rest of the pasuk don't need kavanah. That's the pshat of Ramban. But usually we don't learn like that. The Rambam Beferish doesn't hold like that. Other Rishonim disagree with the Ramban. Not only pasuk rishon is their rice. Parsha Rishon is their rice. Parsha Shniyah is the Rabban. The Rambam Sheet is even Parsha Shniyah is also their rice. Because it also says, b'shach b'chav kumech. It says both in the Parsha Rishon and in Parsha Shniyah, b'shach b'chav kumech. So Rav Soloveitchik explained, according to the Ramban, you have a spirit. According to the Ramban, through Yevon Kashishtar. According to the Rambam and the other Rishonim, that Kriya Shema and HaTorah needs a whole parsha, or it needs two parshias maybe, Shema and V'Hayayim Shemoah. So you see that the Din D'Araisa over here by the mitzvahs Kriya Shema was Avegeshtal, given was Nikva and HaTorah, based on the Drasha Sapsukim that it says, B'Shach B'Chol Kmech, and we need the whole parsha. So the Din was Nikva in units of parshas, not in units of psukim. So then, when the Chachamim understood that there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim each and every day, the Man Tizkos then says, "Kumisan Kol Yemecha Yecho," you should mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim every day. And the way Rav Chaim interpreted that, that's a part of this mitzvah of Kriya Shema, means Kabbalos Amalchus Shemaim Al Yedei Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. So just like this, just like the Kabbalos Amalchus Shemaim, or perhaps also the Kabbalah on mitzvahs, must be done in the unit of a parsha. You have to say the whole parsha Shema, or perhaps the Shema and the parsha's Vayayim Shema, according to some other Rishonim. Then the Chachamim understood that the Al Yidei, the Chiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, also has to be in the unit of a parsha. So that's why the Gemara says that when they were interested in picking those Pesukim and parshas Kabbalah in the Nevuah of Bilam, that it says, "Kel not yom in time kitzal pas rain lo." So the Gemara says that would have been a very beautiful, fancy pasuk, nicer than the pasuk that we have. Ani Hashem lekem shel tzei seis chamei tzam yes lechem lekim ani Hashem lekem. The Gemara assumes that that would have been nicer, but the Gemara says, "But we had tirchad et zibura. We have to say such a long parsha because the din says the kol parsha lo paskei Moshe, anan lo paskina. Why is it that we're worried here about kol parsha? Why not just say kol psuka lo paskei Moshe? No, the din, the whole Yisrael din is you have to have divrei Torah should be recited kichsavam. So what is the kichsavam? So whatever the unit is that you're working with, that's what the Kirchsavam requires. So the unit is one of Psukim, like by Kriyas HaTayr, the Takana Sachan was to learn Psukim, three Psukim, ten Psukim. Then the Kirchsavam requires that you shall learn Psukim, the Torah Psukim. So then the din says, Kol Psukim LePaskimosh. And the same is regarding the Shiras HaLevim and the Beis HaMikdash apparently. They said Hazib Loch and the Beis HaMikdash. And the Turi Yevon points out that's Mavsik in the middle of the Parshas Hazina. So it didn't pose any problem because the Shiras HaLevim apparently was never nikva in the first place. There never was a din that has to be the Torah's parshias. You can't just sing a niggin, a pop tune, or one more Shabbos or whatever, just one Shabbos. The Jews said you have to say Gavke Psukim. You have to say Psukim. So there, that's the Gemara just says, there's a din of called Psukim Lo Paskei Moshe, but there's no din of called Parshat Lo Paskei Moshe. But by Kriya Shema, by Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, which apparently Rav Chaim interprets is part of the Kriya Shema, because Kriya Shema deraisa means that it's Kabbalos HaMalchus Shemayim, not some divrei Torah. So you need Kabbalos HaMalchus Shemayim all your days, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, and you need parshias for the Kriya Shema. So then you need a parshia here too. That's the kichsava. So here, this is what the Poskim point out here. Since Vayava Hashem Aponav Yikra Malamish and Sakuf Hakadosh Baruch Hu Shleach Tzibur, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Zman Shabana Choyt Miyatsu Lefonik Kisei Devarzeh, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, here's another unit. You can sometimes say things with Teres Pasuk, and sometimes say things b'toras parsha, and sometimes say b'toras yud gimel midas. Sometimes he say b'toras yud gimel midas. So that's what over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that there's such an institution of saying this b'toras yud gimel midas. You have another way. Sometimes, let's say, when we lay the aseret hadibra in b'tzibra, so we lay b'tam ha'elyon. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, he quotes the Achrayin, what's the chilek between the tam ha'elyon and tam ha'tachton? So the difference is, when you're laying, our meaning is that we always lay in tam ha'elyon b'tzibra, whether you lay the aseret hadibra in Yisra or Vashanan or on Shavuot. And the Rishonim, in the days of the Rishonim, they didn't always have it like that. Some of them only lay on Shavuot. Some of them never lay in tam ha'elyon, period. They weren't goers the whole thing. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, the name of his father, Zechan Avach, that he didn't go for the whole thing. He thought that it doesn't say in the Maser anywhere he's supposed to lay Mitam Elyon, and he thought that it's a violation of Kol Psukir Lepaskim Moshe. But most shuls, they do have this meaning. In the days of Hashem, they report different minhagim. So some only lay Mitam Elyon on Shavuot, and others lay Mitam Elyon on Shavuot, and I think that is was Chanan, and not on Yisro. So I don't know. How many years that we always lay? Whenever we lay the Aseret HaDibur B'tzibur, we always learn Tam Ha'elyon. What's the Tam Ha'elyon all about in contrast to the Tam HaTachton? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that in the Aseret HaDibur you have 10 Dibros, but you don't have 10 Psukim. It's not that there's one Pasuk per Dibur. You have Laisinach, Laisirtoch. So you have sometimes three of the Aseret HaDibur and one Pasuk. A few and one Pasuk. And then you have Anochei Shem Lekech, you have several psukim, or lo yilochal nochem alponai, kabri sovichon, zochosim shamis lekatshoi, you have a few psukim constitute one dibur. So according to the Tam HaTachton, according to the regular trap, you lay in psukim b'toras psukim. According to the Tam HaElyon, you lay in the Aseret HaDibros b'toras dibros. So you'll do a double violation of kol psukim lepaskim Moshe. You'll, let's say, loi tirtzach. You read that as a part of Bishnei Atzma. That means it doesn't strictly speaking violate the din of Kol Psukim LePaskim Moshe, because it was Paskim Moshe. No? Because there's a stum in the middle. A psuk in the middle, I forget about it. But the psuk did Paskim Moshe, so doesn't violate. Even if you're laying that, let's say, on your own, you'll just say Lois Sirtzach, when your mother said it on your own, that would not be a violation of Kol Psukim LePaskim Moshe, because it was Paskim Moshe. There's no Yisur over there. But still, the difference between the trap leaving out the Yisur of Psukim LePaskim Moshe. The difference between the trap is that in the Tam HaElyon you put together all of the Psukim in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and you don't stop any Sof Pasuk. You convert the Sof Pasuk into an Asnachto. You go weiter, you keep on going weiter until you get to the end of the Dibur. And the same Zohar Seh Mashav Zulkach, you blend in the first few Luchas, in the first few Dibros, when you have a few Psukim per Dibur, they blend in all of the Psukim as if there would be one Pasuk. And then in the later Dibros, you read your lane in the Tam HaElyon, you lane each Dibur as a separate Pasuk. And the Tam HaTachton, you lane every Pasuk as a Pasuk. So Be'emis, let's say, there's not really a violation of laning Lo Tirtzach as a separate Pasuk because it's a Psuk Adi Paskei Moshe. So that really, you can do that Be'em Yochad Be'em Tzi, but that really doesn't pose any problem. But the problem would be present with the other Dibros. Let's say the din of Kol Psuk Adi Paskei Moshe applies in the reverse also. Let's say the Balkore lanes a pasuk and then he doesn't pause it. The third pasuk, he goes into the next pasuk. Many Balakriya have that habit that they lane till the end of a pasuk and they don't pause, they go right there into the next pasuk and then they pause. So Rav Soloveitchik assumed that that's also the violation of Kol Psukim LePaskim Moshe. It's not just the din that you're not allowed to lane a half a pasuk. You have to lane everything kichsova. You have to stop at the end of the pasuk and not to stop in the middle of the pasuk unless Moshe Rabbeinu stopped. Unless it's a pasuk then. That is a psucha restuma, b'emtza parsha, b'emtza apostle. So what's the heta to laying, let's say, what's the heta to laying the Tam HaElyon? Aren't we violating on the Leisirtzach, Leisirtzach, if we're not really violating, that's a psuki did paske Moshe, but aren't we violating the Yisra on the original Dibris? Where you lay a few psukim together, you read, you lay, run on psukim, you keep on connecting all the psukim, that's also a violation of not laying kichsavah. So that's why Moshe Soloveitchik held that you're not allowed to. You shouldn't do it. You should never use the Tam HaElyon. But the Minhag HaOlam is not so wise. Apparently we assume that here there's another kichsavah, that you, just like over here, just like sometimes there's a kichsavah of psukim, and sometimes there's a kichsavah of parshis, depending on what you're working with, and here there's a kichsavah of yud gimel midas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Yasa l'fonik yisayir azem, ani moich alehem. Let them say yud gimel midas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu singled this out as another form of laning kichsavah. This is mutter. This is a separate thing. So too, we don't know exactly where the mocker is in the Gemara, but apparently the minhag has it that we have a right to lay now. So either the Torah's psukim Or Batar is Dibris. Perhaps that's the way that we assume the Rabbanu Shlom said it. I have seen it. When you just Ma'abi said it for yourself, then you're supposed to learn Batar, the Tama Tachta, right? Lachar. And the minig is that we use the Tam HaElyon B'tzibur, somehow we assume that B'tzibur is a special din, just like Maimon HaSinai was at this B'tzibur. And at that time, apparently the Rabbanu Shalom, we assume the Rabbanu Shalom said the Dibros in a breakdown of Dibros, not in the breakdown of Psukim. So perhaps that's why also we assume that when we lay in the Aseres HaDibros B'tzibur, we can lay in it also B'teres Dibros, not B'teres Psukim.
What about Kiddush?
Right, the past can talk about that. Right. Yeah. I'm sorry for not to talk about that. Is it permissible to start in the middle of the past? They have a whole literature on that.
Is it possible that this could be set up to the human readers? That's also another answer. How come you can say that without the study of English puzzle? In addition to the problem of the first time sharing the national language in English?
Yeah. The Iker Adin is that you're allowed to say that you're giving me this separately, right? We have a minhag that the Shari Ephraim writes like that, that even when you say you're giving me this and it's mutter to say it separately, we have the minhag that the Achraim say you should always start from Yav Hashem upon the Yikra. You should never start from Hashem Hashem. So the Achraim ask Akasha, why? If the Iker Adin, at the end you're going to be mafsig in the middle of the pasuk, benakei. You're not going to finish. In the beginning, it's also mutter. You see that Kol Psukla Paske Moshe doesn't apply here. We have a heter to lay in the Torah's Yud Gimel Midas. You don't have to say Davke the Torah's Pasuk. So why do we Achrenim mark the Davke you should start from Vayav Hashem Apano? Why do they say you have to start from the beginning? If it's mutter, you say the Torah's Midas is mutter. So that's what we suggested. Perhaps based on the Tosis in Rosh Hashanah, there are many different opinions in the Rishonim. How do you reckon? How do you count the Yud Gimel Midas? Which are the Yud Gimel Midas? The Tesis quotes two opinions. The Rambam and the Rucham has another Bishonim have different cheshbonos how to count. What do you count? Unechaltanu. Different. Salachtel is also from Yudgim Midas. How far? Where are the Midas? Tokir Avnavus Avonim is also from Yudgim Midas or not? It's usually assumed that it's not. So Tesis has two opinions. Tesis says, Wamshad Vayav Hashem Apano Vayikra colon. And the Rebbeinu Shlom said, Hashem is one meter. Hashem is another meter. How is that 2 meters? So the Gemara says Hashem Kodim Sheyechta and Hashem Liyacha Sheyechta. The Torah Tmimu quotes. Ani Hashem Kodim Sheyechta Hodam Ani Hashem Liyacha Sheyechta Hodam Liyasa Tshuva. These are 2 meters. And then Kael is a 3rd meter, Racham is a 4th, Cham is a 5th, Rechafayim is a 6th, Avchesed is a 7th, Emes is an 8th. And so on. You go back to Tosfos makes a whole cheshbon. And then Tosfos has another pshat, no. Vayava Hashem Apanov Vayikra Hashem. And the Rebbeinu Shlom went in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra Hashem, and the Rebbeinu Shalom says, colon, Hashem, that's the 1st meter. Kael is the 2nd meter. Racham is the 3rd meter. These are 2 opinions that Tosfos has. Other Rishonim have other sheets. But Tosfos has 2 sheets. Pashut, how to read, how does that sign the words in the pasuk? Whether you say Vayikra Hashem, colon, and then the 1st meter is the 2nd Shem. Or no, Vayikra has a colon after it, and then Hashem, Hashem are 2 meters. The point to the one day that the first Hashem is not from the Yud Gimel Midas, if you're going to say Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Achanu, that will be a violation of Motzi Shem Shalayim V'Atol. What is saying the first Shem for if it's not part of the Yud Gimel Midas? So perhaps that's the reason why the Achranim suggest that even on the Iker Adin it's really mutter to say the Yud Gimel Midas separately without the beginning of the Pasuk V'Harai, that we say it at the end, we just stop V'Nakei. You don't finish the Pasuk, but perhaps that's why our minig is to be Makbet, to begin from the beginning. From Vayar Hashem upon it, because of this machlekes and tesis, where do the Yud Gimel Midas begin? Do you say the first Shem or not? So how can you say? So if you begin from the beginning of the pasuk, so is that Shem?
Like
Shiras,
I don't know, maybe I should also. Who say Vayar Hashem upon it? Because Vayar Hashem upon it,
okay, still said it. Still said the whole pasuk.
But if you don't want to get Vayar Hashem,
you're guessing on the Yidra wrong. No, you should really pause at the right place also. But that's the meaning. We assume that Hashem, Hashem are the first 2 meters. So the Chumar B'Alma, we start from the beginning of the pasuk. Even though the first Shem belongs before, we're not pausing in the right place, but at least we made a Hatzolah put.
If the first Shem is paused
Right? We assume Iker Adin, we assume the second opinion, that Hashem Hashem are the Yud Yomidus, beginning of the Yud Yomidus. But just the Yeses says, for Machma to say the beginning of the Pasuk. We can't make everybody happy, so we're pausing at the wrong place according to the other opinion. So we don't hold like that opinion, Iker Adin. But just because of the Chaymer Adin of Moshe Shem Shaman Vatola, so the Choshish for that opinion. So we start from the beginning of the Pasuk always. A little bit. Yes. Vayikra. Vayikra sounds like it's in a trap. It sounds like it's a separate unit. Just a little Purim prayer in connection with what we said before, the Ramban and the Radvaz. No, Hilchas Purim that we just learned. The Ramban and the Radvaz made a compromise between Mitzvahs Derais and Mitzvahs Derabonah. That a Mitzvahs Derais and Mitzvahs Sichas Kavanah. Mitzvahs Derabonah and Mitzvahs Sichas Kavanah. So we often have a question, what status should the Divrei Kabbalah have? Divrei Kabbalah means the Mitzvah Derabonah, which is recorded in Kisrei HaKodesh. It has a higher level, a slightly higher level than a Din Derabonah. It doesn't reach the level of a Din Deraisa, but it's more serious, it's more chomer than a plain Din Derabonah. So he mentioned it to Rabbi Yevon's opinion is, quoted by Rabbi Kivega on Shulchan Aruch, that a Sveka Derabonah Lekula doesn't apply to a Divrei Kabbalah. Sofik Divrei Kabbalah is Lechumim. And we discussed last week whether Kriyas HaMegillah is considered Divrei Kabbalah or not, because it's not written Beloshim Sivu. It just says, Ayamim Ha'ilu in his Korim and Asim, Machlegis HaPoskim, but the Sufik by Kriyas HaMegillah would be Lechumim or not. Is that called Divrei Kabbalah or not? So here is also a Shaila, the Prima Gadim raises the question, do you say Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah by Divrei Kabbalah? Because Divrei Kabbalah to Divrei Torah Damya, and Divrei Torah we say Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah, and he say no. Divrei Kabbalah is a Din Derabbanah, and a Din Derabbanah is Mitzvah saying Srichas Kavanah. So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Prima Gadim, Lahachmir. The Divrei Kabbalah is Gidivrei Torah Damyon and Mitzvah Sichas Kavanah. So that's why the Mishnah Brura raised the kasha. How can it be if the Mishnah says Korah Misnamdein Yotza? The person lays in the gill and he's half asleep, so he's Yotza, he's half asleep, he's drowsing, he's dozing off. How can you say that he has Kavanah Lotza? There's obviously no Kavanah. So don't you see that in Mitzvah Derabbanan, even though it's a Divrei Kabbalah, the din is that Mitzvah is Ein Sichas Kavanah? Or don't you see that Kriyas HaMegillah is not a Divrei Kabbalah? Like the Chibina Rav had his right from the Rashi and Tainus. So don't you see either one or the other, either that Kriyas HaMegillah is not a Divrei Kabbalah, that's against the Prima Gadim and the Turi Yavin, or you see that that Bichlal, the whole thing is wrong, that Divrei Kabbalah also is Mitzvah Ein Sichas Kabbalah. So that's what we mentioned last week, the Teretz Mishnah Berurah has a Teretz and the Mishkan Es Yankiv has a Teretz. That's what we discussed last week. So here, this is seems to be the way the Gemara in different places understood the parsha of the Chet Ha'Egel. That really, the Derech HaTeva, if they would have used the Bechira Chavshes that people normally had, they wouldn't have been able to sin. It doesn't make any sense. How can it be that after the Nisim and the Flores that they saw with their own eyes, B'shas Kriyas Yamsuf and the Asamakis, and Ma'amin Hasina, that they should go ahead and make an Egel? It's impossible. Elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshes and forced them to sin. For what good reason? He wanted to teach them the lesson that even after sinning, it's still shy for people to do tshuva. Lahoris tshuva l'rabim, even though the rabim, the tzibur, did an avera, it's always possible to come back. And that's why, Vayav Hashem al-Pon al-Vayikam, Lama Shem Nisat v'Kadosh Baruch Hu v'Shulat Tzibur, V'Ram Alol HaMoshe, Kozman Shubon HaChoyk, Niyas HaLafonik Yisayt HaZeh. The whole lesson of the Chet HaEgel was to teach them the ability of tshuva. And the Gemara understands that that was Hina Nefer Keres Bris. The Kris's Bris was on the Yud Gimel Midas. On tshuva, that whenever the people do tshuva and they mention the yugim amidas, then bris kerusa the yugim amidas she'enu chazis reikom, that the tshuva will be accepted. The Maharsha talks about that kasha. So why were they punished over here? If they didn't sin with chira chashis, they didn't sin out of their own free will. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the levim, hear the ish, everybody should kill all the yavdi avodah zarah by the chet ha'egel. It's a kasha. A good cash, what? I don't know, Marshall talks about that cash, a good cash. The Torah Tmima has a very fascinating comment in his Sefer on the Kor Baruch. He wrote an autobiography. His name is Baruch, so he writes about the mocker of his family, where they came. They were descendants from the Balamor. The family name Epstein is a corruption of the name Ben Benashti. Ben Benashti was the family name of the Knesset Agdoilo, and this Nasagdola's brother was also a big Gadam Gadol. So they were all descendants from the Balamor and the Ra'or. So he writes the whole thing. So in his autobiography, he writes all kinds of things. So he, among other things, he has this comment. He says in Shulchan Aruch, there's an opinion quoted that Parshas Parah is a Chiv Kriya Deraisa. So the Gomagon says it's the first Sefer, doesn't make any sense. How can it be Deraisa? There's no Makan Nechum. So Achrayim give different suggestions. So he also gives a suggestion. So he quotes the Magen Avraham, Simon Samach, Narachaim in Hilchos Kriya Shema, where the Magen Avraham says, based on the Yalkut Shemoneh, that there's a mitzvah every year, once a year, every year, to laying the Parshas Chetah Eva. How does the Yalkut Shemoneh get that? Because the pasuk says in Chumash and Dvarim, Zochar Reis Asher Tzavtas Hashem Lakecha Bamidbar. We should always remember the Chetah Eva. He doesn't quote it. The Magen Avraham doesn't quote, but the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes like that. At the end of the Hashmatas to the Minyan Ho'esin, the Ramban writes that the Rambam left out a mitzvah. He thinks, namely, to remember Chetah Eva. And then the Ramban himself is not too sure what the nature of this mitzvah is. Is this mitzvah only to the Dor HaMidbar, that they should remember the Chet HaEgel, that despite the fact that they sinned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave them, and he didn't punish them for the Chet HaEgel, or perhaps it's a mitzvah LaDoros. So that's a suffix in the Ramban, whether this mitzvah, Zohar Reis HaShev Tzavtas HaShem HaKecha BaMidbar, is a mitzvah LaDoros or only for the Dor HaMidbar. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Yalkut Shemoni, that says that it's a mitzvah LaDoros, and then it even says you should learn the Techach Tzav. Just like by Parashat Zohar, the Gemara learns that in the Megillah Daf Yud Ches. Says Ksav Zazi Karma say if you have to be Yotzi Mitech HaKsav, not sufficient Bal Peh. So it's over here, the Yalkut Shemoneh says you have to learn Parashat Chet HaEgel Mitech HaKsav. So then I'm going to find out that if so, how come we don't have a special Parashat Chet HaEgel with a special Haftarah, special Kriya with a special Haftarah? So then I'm going to says that it's a Genus, it's a Denai for Bnei Yisrael, that we were all involved in Avodah Zarah. So it's not, the Chacham didn't feel it proper that they should institute a special Kriya with a special Haftarah. So every year when we learn Parshas Kisisa, we should have a mind to be Yotzi. The Baal Kor should have a mind, and the Tzibur should have a mind to be Yotzi, that this Parsha, that this Kriya, is a Kriya, a special Kriya deraisa. Unlike the regular Parshas Kriya Haftarah every week, that it's a Takonis Chachamim, the Kriya Parshas Chet HaEgel is a mitzvah deraisa to remember the Chet HaEgel. That's what the Magen Avraham says. And the same Magen Avraham says regarding Chet Miriam, that there's a mitzvah deraisa to remember Zechirat Chet Miriam. Also a pasuk. So he says, we're Yotze b'milayin that parsha mechumash, b'milayin b'haloska. We read about it. Chacham didn't want to make a special kriya with a special haftarah because it's the gnai for the tzaddik is Miriam. So the in the Sefer Mekor Baruch by Baruch Epstein, he suggests another pshat. He says maybe this is why we learn parsha's Torah, because Rashi. We should all walk around with a guilty conscience, with guilty feelings. We should all realize that we're born into sin. We have a stain on our neshama. No, that's not the reason why. We should remember the lesson of the Chet HaEgel. What was the lesson? The Horus Tzuva L'Rabim. That even though everybody sinned, with such a terrible effect of Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still made it possible to do tshuva. He made it please his risk. But if they do tshuva and they say, you're going to lead us, he'll accept the tshuva. But since the whole idea of the mitzvah, the whole idea of the Chet HaEgel was the Horus Tzuva L'Rabim. So then the sum of the mitzvah of laying Parshas Chet HaEgel once a year, every year, to remember Chet HaEgel is to remember that lesson of Tshuva, not to remember the sin. You should all walk around with guilty feelings. No, we should walk around with happy feelings. We should realize that even if we're terrible and miserable and we're always sinning, a person can always do Tshuva from the greatest depth. He can always do Tshuva. And for the Baruch Hu promised that the Tshuva is done below Sholem, and he says, you do me this, he'll accept the Tshuva. He'll accept the Tshuva. But since the whole practice of the Zechiras Chet HaEgel is to remember that there's a tshuva possible, so perhaps that's why the Chacham won the Sakhan Mishulayim, the Parshas Torah. Because the Parshas Torah is the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. That's how the man says, Tavo Ha'im, with the Kaneach, the Azvano. But the Shabbos, you should have in mind, the Shas Kriyas HaTorah and the Shas Kriyas Parshas Torah to be used to this mitzvah. Whatever Parshas Torah is, whether like the Torah Tzimis says or like the others say, whatever, the Shulchanot quotes an opinion that it may be a din d'oraisa to learn Parshas Torah. And the Magen Avraham says, when we learn the Parshas Kisisa, we yet to that mitzvah of the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvahs and the Yalkut Shemoneh, the learn Parshas Chet HaEgel once a year, every year. After the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to give new luchos. So he told him, Sol luchos shnei luchos avonim karisha anim luchos tafti al haluchos, es hadvarim asher hayu al luchos yishanim asher shibasha. So he said, the first luchos says the haluchos ma'aseh l'kim ha'ima v'hamichta l'michta v'l'kim hu charis al haluchos. Says the Pharisee and the Chumash that the first luchos, both the substance of the luchos and its tzav, was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say by the first luchos where the rocks came from. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu brought up rocks to Har Sinai. So the Medrash says that the rocks came from Tachas Kisya Kovid. They weren't rocks from Olam Hazeh. They weren't rocks from the moon either. But rocks from Tachas Kisya Kovid. That's what it means in the Pasuk. The Halukas, Maisir Lekim Hema. The Lukas were not from this earth. The Etzim substance of the Lukas, the stones themselves were Maisir Lekim. Veha Michtov, and Anochi Hashem Lokech, was carved out. Michtov Lekim Hu Chorot HaLukas. The Rebbeinu Shlom carved it out. Second Lukas says, the Ferish Psal Lechosh Nei Lukas Avonim. Then it says, V'chosat Zi, and I will write. Baruch Shalom speaks, says that he's going to write. So the Pashup Shat is, that's how the Ramban writes on Chumash, and that's how we generally, Ramban, Rabbeinu B'chai, and others say, that's how we generally assume that on the second Luch is also the Baruch Shalom writer. And then it says in Dvarim also, it says, V'yachtar al-Halakot, so it's also the Baruch Shalom is describing that he's going to write on the Luchas that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to bring up. That's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. So the Medrash has a different Pshat, Machlekes, whether that's a Pshat on the Pasuk. The Medrash Rabbah has on this Pasuk that it's not so. The second Luchas were both were lacking. It wasn't, HaLuchas Maisel Lekim Heim, it wasn't there. The Luchas were from this earth. HaMuchta Luchta Lekim Hu was also not there. Moshe Rabbeinu carved out the second Luchas. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu carved it out. I says the Ferish, the Chos Tafti Al HaLuchos. And then it says in Zvar, in Viyachtar Al HaLuchos, I'm going to write. The Medrash says, "Kival Yochel." The Rebbeinu Shlom says, "That's how put my. I'll hold on to the pen, like the Sefer writes the Sefer Teres. If you want to, so you don't know how to. You want to write a noise, so the Sefer holds on to the pen, and then you hold on to the pen on top, and he writes." The Medrash says, "That's what it means." The Rebbeinu Shlom helped Moshe Rabbeinu a little bit, but it doesn't mean that the Rebbeinu Shlom was writing. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the second Luchos. The both were lacking. It wasn't Maaseh Lekim. The etzem substance of the stones was not Maaseh Lekim, and the etzem script of the Luchos was also not Michtav Lekim. It was really Michtav Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm a Chodesh Dikim Shah. It was Michtav Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash gets this from the Pasuk that says, Sob Lechor Esat Vorim Ha'ilah. It says later in today's Seder, you should write. I, but it says before, V'yachtov Al Halachos, I will write. V'chatzafi Al Halachos, I will write. The Medrash says, no, really Moshe Rabbeinu did the writing. And when the Rebbeinu Shlom said, V'chatzafi Al Halachos, means that I'll be Messiah. I'll hold on to the Luchas when you write so they won't shake. I'll hold on to the pen. I'll hold on to your hand. I'll help you out a little bit, but really Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. What is that? Is the significance over here? But the Medrash seems to imply that this is the idea of the idea of Amolus HaTorah. That the person has to write. What? The Rebbeinu Shlom is going to do the writing. If you work on learning, then you'll understand. If you don't work, then you won't understand. The Luchas Rishonis is a whole different Madrega. The Luchas Rishonis would have been there with us. Just look at the Luchas and everybody would know everything. The Luchas Shniyas was a different chinah. After Moshe Rabbeinu finished the Luchas, then was established given a whole new din that you have to have Yigiyah v'amolo shel Torah. What's the reason for this? Well, you must have heard some of the talks the other night on Tuesday night. Beis Halevi has a long drush at the end of his shuvas, the end of Chelek Beis and shuvas, and he has on Chumash also. Why does the Gemara say Yagaita Yimatzasi Tanya? That if the person says, I worked hard, and then I was matzliach in learning, you should believe him. What do you mean matzosi? You should say yagaiti v'hitzlachti. I succeeded in understanding learning. The more I was supposed to put in, v'yitena Moshe t'chal osur adabarita, so Rebbeinu Shlom gave a matonis, and Moshe gave the curve a matonis. Why is it a matonis? Why is it considered a matonis? If a person works hard on learning, it's not a matonis. And the psukim in Tilim that the Gemara quotes is matonis. Why is the Torah considered a matonis? Let's say a person goes to college and he studies, or it's a high school college, whatever he studies, so he understands. Why is it called this matonis? Matanam and Hashemayim that he understands is the subjects that he works on in school. So the Beis HaLevi explains that there's a big difference, that the Torah is Chachmas HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hu V'Chachmas HaYechod. So Chachmas HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really a description of Elokus. And Elokus is L'mayel Amei HaSogas B'nei Adam. It's not something that can be understood. It's not really, it doesn't belong to Olam Hazeh. The physics and the chemistry and the mathematics and whatever other evil pair they study here in college. So that's an Olam Hazeh. So all the Olam Hazeh things, that's mitzvahs and hasagas and reyot. But Elokus, it's something that we don't see here in Olam Hazeh. So how can anybody have a hasagas Elokus? The only way we can have any hasagas Elokus is by learning Torah. So really Elokus is l'mayla me hasagas and reyot. So how can anybody understand anything? So that's what the Beis Halevi explains the Gemara is, that it's a matonis. And it's a mitziyah. It's a yagaiti yamatzasi. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, if you work hard on it, then I'll give you the Torah of the Matana, then I'll give you a Havana Sater. It doesn't come to Derech HaTeva. The klal is that if a person if a person does something chutz mi gidrei hateva, if he works very hard, what does he not molish alter? He studied for 12 o'clock at night. You know, the doctor study also for 1 o'clock at night. A scientist in a lab, he's working on something, he'll also work for 1, 2 o'clock at night. He doesn't have to work more. That's called the derech hateva. When the scientist is working in a lab, or the doctors are studying for their exams or whatever, or mathematicians are trying to figure out some kind of an equation or something, that's the derech hateva. That's the Olam HaRabbi biggest stuff. When they work on that, so they work, but there's a limit. They don't work mishuga. Teva has to be more than that. Give amol shofer means when a person works chutz legidrei hateva, more than a normal person would work for in order to find that teva, the person works lamaila min hateva, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him a maton of lamaila min hateva. That's what one of the other speakers was speaking about. On Tuesday night, they mentioned the halacha that when it comes to mitzvahs of pirsum and nisa, there's no limit of chaymish. The cloud usually is on the vazos, how vazos get in the chaymish. A person is not obligated to do mitzvahs if it's going to cost him more than one-fifth of his total savings. Except if it's a mitzvah of pirsum and nisa, like Abitosis, or like Ner Chanukah, perhaps making Megillah, perhaps that was a shadow that was discussed. What about Shalach Manos? Sometimes, is that also pirsum and nisa? When it comes to mitzvah pisa minisa, then there's no limitation of chaymish. Why not? So Dr. Oveitchik explains that he thinks what it means is the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls upon us to act normally. We have to lead a normal life. A person not mechuyev to lead a meshugan life, to live like a nut. So what the guy's going to go to a mitzvah, he's going to spend all of his money on a mitzvah, then what's going to be? He's going to be out of money, he's going to have to go schnorr money from other people. But the Rebbeinu Shalom says, when it comes to mitzvah sesh, there's such a limit. Hamevaz is not mechuyev to be mevaz with Yez Mechavish. Not mechuyev to spend more than one-fifth of his total savings in order to do a mitzvah. When it comes to a loy tzeh, say the machloikis. In Achrenim, we ask him, you have to give kol hon beiso in order not to violate the law. Like the Chafetz Chaim gives the mashal, if the boy starts talking Lashon Hara with you, and if you won't answer Lashon Hara with him, if you won't talk along with him, that you're a moron, guy doesn't know how to talk. The shulman, if he's going to fire you so you lose your job, well, you have to lose your job because Lashon Hara is a lav deraisa, and a lav deraisa you have to give kol hanbeisa. If you lose your job, that's called kol hanbeisa, that's called the hain lav. If it's only avak Lashon Hara, if it's only a Lashon Hara de Rabbanon, then it's a shayla and paskin whether on a lav de Rabbanon we have to give kol hanbeisa or dinim de lav de Rabbanon can't be machama, then it's a sesa deraisa. That's a machlekes achrein. The Radzad is another thing. But if it's real Lashon Hara deraisa, he says, then you're not allowed to talk to Lashon Hara even if it's going to cost you your job because that's a din. Allah says you have to give away repaskin. Like the Ramah, others disagree, but we pass like the Ramah, you have to give away kol hanbeis. But in the mitzvah sesei not. So that's all they should explain. When do you have this klal? That in the mitzvah sesei, you don't have to spend more than chaymesh because you have to live with a cheshbin. That's if it's a plain mitzvah sesei. But if you're doing a mitzvah, that the nature of the mitzvah is pirsumi nis, not some zeichel anes. You have a lot of mitzvahs that are zeichel anes. You have tefillin is zeichel anes. It says, man tiyotar shashem esich, ki biyar chazok, at yach hashem in Mitzrayim. You have a lot of mezuzah, a lot of mitzvahs are zeichel anes. But they're not pirsumi mitzvah. When you have a mitzvah that's pirsumi mitzvah, it means that the whole teichen ha-mitzvah, the whole nature of the mitzvah is kidei lefarsen es anes, kidei laharis, or legalis es anes, like the Rambam writes, to demonstrate the nature. Not some historical background of the mitzvah is zeichel anes, but the nature of the mitzvah right now is also, not only is it zeichel anes, it's also pirsumi mitzvah, to be mefarsen anes now. So why are we being mitzvah from the nes? It means we're calling upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we're pleading with him that just like he showed us a nes then, show us nisim today as well. We're asking for a nes. You're asking for a nes, so the Gemara has a call. Nidosha, the modei, bo modei din lo. If you lack like that, then the Rebbeinu Shalom will act with you like that. That's what the Gemara says, a mitzvah to give tzedakah when you daven. Why to give tzedakah? You have to give tzedakah to the bum, to the shikar bum to come in. The answer is yes. But we're also shikar abang. When we ask the Rebbeinu Shalom that he should give us a good year, we should give us hatzloche and parnasa and good marks in college and a good shiduchim and good jobs and so on, do we deserve it? Some people do, most people don't. So the people who don't, so why should the Rebbeinu Shalom say yes to them? So the answer is, well, they give tzedakah to people who don't deserve. So the needle shall be modeh, so modeh in low. The same way we act to others, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act to us. If we are kind, if we are demo chasarim to others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be demo chasarim to us. If we give to people who are not worthy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us, even though perhaps we are not worthy, even though probably we are not worthy. So here also, the midah shel modeh bo modeh din lo. If a man is meisa nefesh to do a mitzvah, and he does even lifnim min ha-normal, to give up until chaymish, to give up until one-fifth of total savings, that's considered a normal way of living. To give more than chaymish, that's abnormal. So if a person does, he's meisa nefesh in a sense. a strength tachan, he exerts himself in order to be nekayim a mitzvah, even to give more than chemish. And normally you're not allowed to do that, but when it comes to a mitzvah pesumi nisi, you're obligated to do that, because if you want the Rabban Shalom to show nisim to you, you're making a mitzvah pesumi nisi to show the Rabban Shalom, just like he did nisim in the past. We want him to continue his assistance, and he should continue to give us nisim, to show us nisim nechlor. So we only can expect nisim nechlor is in chutz migidri ha-teva. We'll do something chutz migidri ha-teva. So this is what the Beis HaLevi stresses regarding learning Torah. But Hatzlach and learning means that you'll succeed in understanding something that chutz min ha-teva. It's not the same as medicine and mathematics and everything. The Rebbeinu Shlomo made all those things that they should be good teva. But the Torah is the chet is kedem b'riya sa'ilo. The Torah says the Torah was before b'riya sa'ilo. Because it's chachmas v'shar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shlomo was before b'riya sa'ilo. The Rebbeinu Shlomo was there before the world was created. The medicine and the physics and the astronomy and the mathematics, that's all part of the b'riya. So that's an olam hazeh. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo was the Torah were there before b'riya sa'ilo. That's not part of the b'riya. Chutz l'mayim min ha-teva. So the only way for a person really to succeed in Torah is if he exerts himself a lot. Means he exerts himself more than the doctors, more than the lawyers. All of those stuff are part of the b'riya. So that's called teva. If a person exerts himself chutz migidri ha-teva, that's what the Gemara says. Zos ha-ter adam ki yom is b'riya. When a person en ha-ter miskayem is ha-ter b'mishin name is atzmo la. A person can only really succeed in learning Torah if he exerts himself a lot. Chutz migidri ha-teva doesn't mean he should die. Name is asking, doesn't have to necessarily die. It means he exerts himself l'mayla min atel, chutz migid yatel. So that's what the Medrash understands in the Pesukim by the second Luchas. But all of this was in Chadosh in the second Luchas. For some reason or another, the Baruch Shalom originally wanted, he gave the first Luchas, that everything would be written on the Luchas. By just looking at the Luchas, everybody would be able to figure out what the Dinam are. And by the second Luchas, the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't want that. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to make Solach, or you have to make the Luchas, the substance of the stone, and you have to carve it out. You have to write it off. And then it says, V'chastafi ala l'chos, I'll just be Messiah a little bit. But you're going to do all the writing. This time, the human being is called upon to do all of the Yegiya and the Amola Shalter. The person has to do all the work. He doesn't lose money by it. This the fellow, he's not going to become poor. The Gemara comments on the part of Solach, Sultan Shalachotahed. The Gemara says that the Rebbeinu Shlom showed Moshe Rabbeinu some very valuable stones, and he should carve them out to the right side. And then after he carved them out, so what happened to the stuff that he chipped off? The Gemara says in the Dorm, Sultan Shalachotahed. The leftover gold and silver, whatever, the leftover stuff was very valuable, and that Moshe Rabbeinu had a right to keep. So that is the Medrash and the Gemara have two different timing. What was the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was given the right to keep this? So the Medrash says, this was to pay off Moshe Rabbeinu, he should be equal with everybody else. Because at the time of the Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the Pesukim say that everybody was busy with business Mitzrayim. Everybody should get from Atonis. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Pesukim seems to indicate in that he was busy taking care of the bones, the dead bones of Yitzhak that time. Avonah Shal Yitzhak. So he lost out on the money. He didn't get any money then. So lest anybody think that he's going to lose out or come out poorer than everybody else, so the Medrash says on today's Seder, "Apsalach apsalach shalchotahei," that he's going to be on the same level with everybody else. You don't get poor from learning Torah. The person who learns Torah doesn't get poor. I think poor, would have been poor anyway. He's not going to lose that. The Gemara has a different version. Not only don't you get poor, you get rich. The Gemara says, "Apsalach apsalach shalchotahei," that he was an Ashir. Why did he have to be an Ashir? Because we have a member, Ein Ashkina Shel, El Achacham Giba V'Yashir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only give Nevuah to an individual who is a Chacham, very intelligent, Gibor, very, very strong, and an Ashir, very wealthy. So some interpret the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it says, Ezer Chacham Halem in Bikalad, and Ezer Gibor HaKadosh Shesutra, Ezer Ashir, HaTameh B'Chalto. So some of Pashim interpret that that's what the memory in the Gemara means, that Ein Ashkina Shel, El Achacham Giba V'Yashir. Why does he have to be tall, dark, and handsome? Why? In order to have Ashras Ashkina, so it doesn't mean that. It means he should be a Sameach B'Chalko, and he should be a learned in the Kalod, and he should be humble, he shouldn't be arrogant, that he knows everything, he doesn't want to listen to what anybody else says, and he should be Bergeshes Yitzro. That's what it means to give up. But the Gemara said, at time Elijah points out, but the Gemara says not so. The Gemara doesn't say that, though, Chetma. The Gemara says, Chacham, give up Yashin means literally, he should be wealthy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. He should be very intelligent, and he should be a Giba, means physically strong. The Gemara says, where do you see Moshe Rabbeinu as a Giba? The Gemara says, how could he put up the Mishkan all by himself? It's physically impossible. Those boards, you just make a cheshbon of how thick the wood was. It's impossible for one person, for 50 people, to push up such a board. And that's Menashe Maim. So the Gemara says he was very, very strong, and he had the koyach, as Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to put up the kroshim of the Mishpat. It was mamisha gibur kipshuta. The Gemara says not only kevish esitz, but the Gemara says gibur benegiat hashras hashchem means physically strong. And Ashi, the Gemara says, literally rich. It means he was really wealthy. And the Gemara says, where did he get wealthy from? How was he rich? If he was taking care of the dead bones. Undertakers are glad of very rich. But then you can understand, Shah, Moshe Rabbeinu was rich, he was an undertaker. The others took Jesus Hayah, Jesus Mitzrayim. But the Medrash says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any of the Jesus Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, how did he become rich? Richer than the others, not son to equal everything out. He was richer than the others because Sultan Shalachar Tehei. This is quoted in Yerubay Al-Alacha. The Pasuk says, HaKoyin HaGodol Me'echav in Parshas Amor. So the Gemara says, Gadlehu Mishal Echav. Means that the Kohen Gadol is wealthy, is tov. And if he's not wealthy, then Gadlehu Mishal Echav. The other Kohanim have to chip in and give him a lot of money so he'll be a wealthy man. That's a Gemara. Gadlehu Mishal Echav. So Rashi and Tainus points out a Gemara there. And the Shach quotes this in Yerubay, in the name of the Bach, La'alacha. He says that Rosh Hashivas are supposed to be paid a lot of money. It's a thing that Lehim Shalakho, that they're supposed to be wealthier than other people. Why? Why are they supposed to be wealthier than other people? Fakir, they're not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't charge money to Moshe Rabbeinu when he taught him the Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught you the Torah. Raise them out of the ice and cash Tivani Hashem Rakoi. Look, I taught you the whole Torah the same way the Ribbono Shel Olam taught me. Just like the Ribbono Shel Olam taught me for nothing, so I'm teaching you for nothing. So you're not allowed to charge money for teaching Torah. Right, it says in Yerudeya, I'm not allowed to charge the yeshiva money. The yeshiva is supposed to pay the rabbeim a lot of money because God lehu mishal echov. It's a din of kovod atera. Why does the Navi have to be rich? Why does the Navi have to be very strong? Why does it have to be tall, dark, and handsome? That people should have kovod for the Navi, that they should listen to what he has to say. The Rashi points out in the Gemara and Tainin, and the Shach quotes in the name of the Bach and Yerudeya Lalo, the same thing by a big Rosh Yeshiva, a big Rav, that the same problem applies. The Balabatim are obligated Lahashim with Harav to give him a lot of money. Once he's very wealthy, you're not mukhif to make him wealthier. But they have to give him a lot of money to make him very wealthy. It's a din out of Kovod HaTorah that she used Varav Nishman. Everybody should have their heritage for the big Talmid HaChacham. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. At the end of today's Sedra, the Chumash described that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, Hinei Koran Orpono, his face was shining. Michelangelo has a statue of Moshe Rabbeinu with the horns sticking out. He had a different gusha. He had Karen Orpono, he had horns. But the Pasuk says, Koran Orpono, his face was shining out. What was his face shining out from? What did he use? What are you rubbing his hair that his face was shining out? So what did he eat? Schnapps. What did he have over there? So the Medrash says, Mehechem Zocha Moshe Rabbeinu Hoy. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do that he deserved to eat Karnei Hoy? That his face was shining. So the different interpretations, different suggestions in the Medrash. So the Bala Tanya and the Likutei Torah quotes one of them that goes as follows, Mehechem Zocha Moshe Rabbeinu Hoy Midyosh and Ishtar Bikumus. From the ink that was left over in the pen when he was writing on top of Har Sinai. He was writing the Torah, so there was ink left over. What does it refer to? For some interpreters, Baldera Hadrush, that refers to the Pasuk, that refers to the Pasuk, Grish Moshe Onov Miyod. How does it say Onov? It's a little without a yud. Or the Pasuk beginning of Vayikra is a small Aleph, no? Has a little Aleph, an Aleph zero. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Onov, so he didn't want to write the full Onov. He didn't want to write the whole thing. So he left out a letter. Or Vayikra, he left that little Aleph. He wrote a little Aleph instead of a big Aleph. So there was ink left over because of his anivis. He didn't want to write so much about himself. So because of his anivis, there was ink left over in the pen, and that's what it means. Because of his anivis, that's why he was there for the Kaniho. Very short, Sakhfir. What do you mean, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to leave out the Yod and Onor? Moshe Rabbeinu decided to make a little Aleph in Vayikra. The Ribbono Shel Olam told him to make a little Aleph and leave out a Yod. So why that doesn't indicate his anivis. He didn't do one on his own. It was dictated, word for word, letter for letter. It's not the Pshat. So the Baal HaTanya has a different interpretation. He doesn't quote that one. That's the one that the Darshanim said. I think the Baal HaTanya says that. So others say that. Al-Dera HaDrash. The Baal HaTanya has what he considers Al-Dera HaPshat. This is how Soloveitchik likes to stay over this Pshat. The Hechem Zohar Moshe Lekani Hod in Yosh and Ishtar Bikum is what it means is the following. You have a very great person who has so much Torah in Chassidus and Kishus and Sitkis and Yerushalayim. He has everything. Such a man. Isha Ashkelon has everything in him. So let's say he gives a lot of shiur, and he writes a lot of books, and he makes a lot of movies, and whatever. He does as much as he can, tries to give over everything that he has. As much as he does, he can't give over everything that he has. There's always going to be a lot left in him. As many books as he's going to write, there's always going to be ink left over in his pen that he cannot convey everything to the others. Like the Gemara has a lashon, Rav Lezer says a lashon, Habir amadatim mirab lezer, and he learned so much from his rabbein. Rav Lezer had a tremendous current, and he says a lashon, and everything that he learned was like a kelef hamalakit minayam. As much as he learned, it was like a dog drinking in water from the ocean. The dog thinks that he's drinking so much and that he could there's a big ocean left here. He didn't take anything. It's the same over here. Moshe Rabbeinu gave so much Torah to Bnei Yisrael for 40 years. By day and by night, he was teaching and teaching, saying shiurim and everything, and writing and writing and writing. And after Acharei Kechlot HaKol, Moshe Rabbeinu died. Everything was gone. He had so much that he wasn't able to convey to the others. And that's what the Baal Tanya says. That's what it means. Yoshin Ishtar Bekumus. Yoshin Ishtar Bekumus means when you have a very great person and tries to give over everything that he has to others, it's physically impossible. There's always going to be a lot that's remaining within him. So because there was so much within Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what the Pasuk says, Kikor and Alpon. The Kaine held he was merciful because he had so much that he couldn't convey to the other. It's the third of a shining up on the Yerushalayim and the biggest service and everything that he has. They will say at Bahalotan, a Pashik Pan. The Chumash says that if I touch a mace, I become an Avatim. I'm coming for 7 days, and he has Osh Nishi Shvi. And then after touching the mace, if I touch another person, he becomes a Rishon Atum. And if that person touches something else, so if it's if it's Erkla Mamashkin, it will become a Sheni Rishon. If Erkla Mikhail, the mother became a Kabbalatum from an Av. But Erkla Mamashkin is a Kabbalatum from a Rishon Atum. What happens is at the same time that I'm touching the maze, we call the maze the Avirois Atumim to be able to figure out the Chesbon. So if I'm touching the maze, I'm an Avatum, what if I touch you at the same time that I'm touching the maze? The Gemara calls that, oh, it's an Udin Tumu B'chiburin. While I'm touching the maze, I touch you, not only am I an Avatum, you too become an Avatum. Tumu B'chiburin. So there's an interesting machlokes, the Rambam in the Raizid and Hilchas Nozir regarding Kohanim and Nazirim. HaKoyin and the Nazir both have a din in common, they're not permitted to be Mitamei Lameis. What happens if the Koyin is Tamei now anyway? Koyin is Tamei Lameis anyway. Is Ozin is Mitamei again to the Lameis? So is, so the Gemara gives the call. If he's Moshe Tumal Tumasai, if he becomes more Tamei now by touching the Lameis, then nope, he's Moshe Tumal Tumasai, so he violated the use of being Mitamei Lameis. If he's not being Moshe Tumal Tumasai, nothing new is added, then there's no issue in being Mitamei Lameis a second time. So the Rambam has a, so the Gemara has Machlokes Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, the middle of Nazir. So Shaila, the Rambam and the Rabbi had to read the Machlokes Rabbi Rabbi Yosef. So it boils down to the following. The Rambam writes that if I touch the mace and I let go, I'm a Koyin of a Nazir. I touch the mace and I let go. Then on the same day, I'll touch the mace a second time. This will constitute an act of being Moshe Tumal Tumas. You're not allowed to do that. And the Rabbi says no. That it's only if I touch the mace on Sunday, and then I touch the mace on Monday. So by touching the mace on Sunday, I could have become Tohor with Shlishi Shvi. I could have become Tohor in 7 days. Then I touch again another mace, the same mace on Monday. Then my Hazor Shlishi Shvi is pushed off a day further. So then that's called Moshe Tumal Tumasim. But if I touch another mace on the same day, same mace or different mace on the same day, so the writer disagrees with the Rambam and Hilchos Naziris, and he holds that that's not called a violation of Moshe Tumal Tumasim. What's the machlokes of the Rambam and the writer? The Pashtus, the way you learn it is the following, that the Rambam holds, what is the nature of this din of Tumah B'chiburim? The Rambam Shita is that in the fact that calls man that I'm touching the mace, and then I touch you, you become an Avat Tumah, and if I let go and I touch you, then you all become a Rishon Tumah. So that shows that calls man that I'm touching the mace, I have a higher level of Tumah. Not only am I an Avat Tumah, if I'm an Avat, how can I make you an Avat? It must be that calls man that I'm touching, I'm higher than an Avat. I'm an Avi Avot Tumah. Calls man I'm touching, I'm like an Avi Avot. So the Rambam says that if I touch the mace 9 o'clock in the morning, then I touch the mace 10 o'clock in the morning on the same day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so that touching another mace or the same mace on the same day is also an act of mace of Tumal Tumas. Do haray, that if I touch somebody else, the other person will become an Avat Tumah. So that shows that Kovman, I'm touching the mace, the Tumah is b'chiburim with me, my level of Tumah is a higher level of Tumah. So that's called mace of Tumal Tumas. And the Rabbi said that's not true. The reason why you become an Avat Tumah if I'm still touching the mace and I touch you is because the tumor goes through like a current of electricity goes through. So it's passing through me. if you are touching the mace, indirectly you're touching the mace. But if mace is Abiyavari, and you are considered indirectly touching the mace, so you become an Abhatam. And it's not that I have a higher level of Tumah. Whether I'm touching the mace, I'm not just touching the mace, I only have the level of Abhatumah. You don't say that when I'm touching, I'm considered an Abiyavari. That's what the Ravid thinks, that's what the Ravid says, that if a Kohen is already a Tumah mace, and he touches a mace on the same day, then there's no Malchus. The Shaila is, there's no Malchus. Does the Ravid mean that it's Mutah Lagamrei? The way we just explained should be Mutah Lagamrei, that the Ravid holds that that's not a violation of Moshe's Tumah to Moshe. Or perhaps the Ravid means that there's no Malchus, means that you don't give him Malchus, but there is a violation. Perhaps maybe basically he's really masking with the Raman, that it is a Hishtopas, it is a Moshe's Tumah to Moshe, it is even Moshe's Tumah. But since it's not so conspicuous, if he touches a mace on Sunday, then he touches a mace on Monday, that's very obviously Moshe's Tumah to Moshe. So he's going to have to wait another day for the Hazor, pushing off the Hazor Shmish Shvi. But if he touches a mace twice on the same day, so the second time is not so conspicuous for Moshe's Tumah to Moshe. So perhaps the Ravid only means to say that there's no Malchus, but there still is an issue of the Raisa. This is the Shaila. The Dogma of Avavah raises the Shaila. At the end of your day in Hilchot Tumas Kehanim, Dogma of Avavah raises the Shaila. So first, the question of Mishlamel. So the Mishlamel Hilchot Avavah talks about. So first, he says the Posh of Shat in the Ravid is that there's no Issa. Even though the Ravid says they ain't like him all of, the Posh of Shat is that he means that there's no Issa at all. The Ravid holds that it's not called like him Tumas Tumas. Then he says, no, he backed out, and he says it's wrong. That there is an Issa there, right? But the Rabbi holds that it's just not my. Why did he back out? So the Samserza writes in the Tshuva what the background to the story is. Samserza was a Talmud of Rav Nosson Adler from Frankfurt. And he writes that his Rebbe Rav Nosson Adler once met the Rebbe Yehuda, and they had discussed this issue. And after the Rebbe Yehuda had written the Dogma of Avarim, and then Rav Nosson Adler showed him that it's Nimdayin, that the Sefer written by the Rebbe, a part of it written by the Rebbe, it says the Ferish, it isn't each of the Rebbe. It says the Ferish, that they just know Malchus. But there is an issue deraisa, so that's why the Dogma of Avah corrected it. He writes Shuvah Meyecheskel. Usually Dogma of Avah just writes this Chidushim, and over here he writes Shuvah Meyecheskel. That was his name. He says, I backed out, and it's wrong. And the reason why I backed out is because of Nas Nadla showed him that it's a Mefurish, it's Nimdei. So Akhenim points out that later in Makkah, he says Ramban also, in the third part of the Makkah, a little later, in the next slide, where the Ramban also writes one there. He says that according to the Raisa, there is an issue deraisa. The Raisa only means to say that it ain't a loike. But he holds that there is an issue deraisa. On the same day. Yeah. If he touches on Sunday, then he touches on Monday, then the Rabbi holds that it's Malchus. But if he touches twice on the same day, there is an issue deraisa. That's why all the Heterim are very schwach. But one of the Balei Tesis is assuming like the Rabbi also. And he assumes like the Rabbi that there's no issue at all. There's no issue at all to touch on the same day. And then he says, what's the difference when he touches twice on Sunday, touches on Monday? Because it's Moshe's another day for the Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So then the Smart says that this man is that we have no Eifer Torah. So what's the difference when he touches twice on the same day, or you touch on a different day? There's no Eifer Torah, there's nothing Moshe's Tumah Tumah, there's not prolonging the Neitumah. So that's why the Smart says, according to this Torah, the Rabbi, Kohanim are permitted to be in the time of the Mason is Manazer. That's the case. But then, first of all, the Rabbi himself holds the Ferris Nasa, that's where it says in the Simzain, that's where it says in the Ramban later, like the Dogma of Avah wrote, that the Rabbi himself only meant to say Zain Loikim, but he didn't mean to say that it's Musa. He holds that it's an Issur Deraisa. And secondly, even if you should assume that the Rabbi holds that the Tetragoma, that he holds that it's not a Hosef, it's Tumah Tumasa at all, the Tumah B'Shibun just means considered as if you're touching the mace. Not that I have a higher level of Tumah, and I'm a Tumah than you. But you're touching the mace, and that's how I become an Avatumah, you become, we both became an Avatumah. Even if you assume that the Rabbi holds Mutter, but still you say because there's no Eifer Torah this man is there, that's why there's no Hesaf Hesumah, but theoretically there's Hesaf Hesumah. Theoretically there is Hesaf Hesumah, just because practically speaking there's not. That's why it's very questionable, this whole Kula, that the Mitzvah, the Pesachim are sometimes Mitzvah, the Shittas arises, the Kohanim to be in the town of the Mason, whenever there's any Sophic, so sometimes the Mitzvah, the Shittas arise around. The Rabbi holds, but the whole thing is Mutter anyway. It's highly questionable, the Rabbi holds, the Rabbi probably holds that it's not Mutter, probably holds that there's just no Malchus. Even if he holds that it is Mutter, that the Smart Kula is even a further questionable thing to say that on a different day there's no Hesaf is Tumah to Moshe. We'll have to see, is it the same Tumah? When I touch a Cherev HaRekachol, does the Mace become to the same extent become Tumah when I touch a Mace? The Ramban HaChumash says not so. Ramban HaChumash says that if you touch a Mace, you need Hazor Shlishi Shvi. And such a chayav erech cholera, a man says, you don't need azar to mishnah shvi. So he says, the nazir also has azar chilukim. The gemara nazir says, azar chilukim, that it's not the same level of tumah. Touching a mace and touching a chayav erech cholera is not the same level of tumah. Even let's say if the coin is touching onto a chayav erech cholera, but he touches a mace, then the chayav erech cholera has dropped his tumah tumah. It makes him more tumah than he was before. Okay, everybody is invited to attend Rabbi Lam Shia. The theme of the Shia will be Smichas Chachamim. How do you get Smichas?